Hello, and thank you for joining us for yet another episode of That Solo Life, the podcast for PR pros and marketers who work for ourselves. I am Michelle Kane, and I have to say this is a very special day, although if you're listening to us, you cannot see this. But we, Karen Swim of Solo PR Pro, and I are taking the leap. We are live, broadcasting live to the Solo PR Pro private Facebook group. Oh my goodness. But we have wonderful reason to, because we have wonderful Cami, I can't stand it. I'm on TV. We have wonderful Cami Hughes with us. Cami is one of our own, and she has been in Solo PR Pro, gosh, as long as I can remember, and is a vibrant member of our community. So Cami is the CEO and founder of Zoetica Media, which is a digital marketing and public relations agency that connects clients with communities that matter the most to them, and of course, delivering measurable results. Cami is a PR vet who speaks at social media events and conferences all over the country and right now online. And she also has a great venture called Cami Smart Social Secrets. Her work in social media has earned her 2 Society for New Communications Research Social Media Awards and IABC's Gold Quill of Excellence Award. So Cami, thanks for taking the time to hang out with us.
Are you kidding? Karen said, you're going to come join Michelle and I for our podcast. I'm like, how high do I jump? Yes. Yay. I love it. I love you guys so much.
I don't think we've seen each other since, goodness, the last solo convention, mm-hmm. which isn't that long ago, but everything feels like a blur these days.
It really does.
Yeah.
We're so excited to talk to you, Cami. So our dear audience, Cami is one of my personal heroes. She, like early on when I started my business, I connected with her online and learned so much from her integrity and leadership. And she's always been someone that has truly led with an authentic heart. And she's always been genuine online, and she's always been ethical and had the greatest integrity. And she's so optimistic. And she is, she's somebody that inspires you to take that leap. The last time we saw each other, I think, was at a PRSA conference when we saw each other live. And she's the reason that I actually am contemplating this whole College of Fellows thing, because she gets you fired up about stuff. And then you're like, I didn't think about that. So glad to have you here. And we should mention that although we have a name for solos that have evolved their business, and I'm in that group too, that you're not just a solo, you're a solo plus, because we love to still keep you in the solo PR pro family, even when your business evolves and grows, because ultimately we want solos to have the business that fits them. We want you to have your best business. And sometimes that means that your vision grows bigger and you add members to your team, either through hiring employees or contractors. And so we call those people Solo Plus, and they are still part of our family.
Well, I was not going to quit when I started hiring people, so I can tell you that.
Not let you.
So tell us about that, because I'm sure there are a great number of us who, while we, like in my instance, I'll put a team together for the project or the client, but you do want to grow the business, and the only way to do that is to either partner up or hire help, whether it's a 1099 or a full-fledged employee. What was your tipping point, and what could you recommend as first steps for those of us out there who are thinking, all right, how do I do this?
Yeah. So thank you, Michelle, for that question, because it's something I really feel strongly about. So I really felt like I couldn't afford to hire people for a really long time, for years and years and years. And I think I was just like at the point where I was so busy. I was working night and day. I was staying up till 1 o'clock in the morning to get things done. I was burning all the candles at all the ends. And still I thought I couldn't afford to hire someone. When I was putting in so much work and so many hours that I obviously needed help. And so the first thing that I did, and that I really kind of talked myself into, was hiring a VA, a virtual assistant. So that was my first step. And that was, oh gosh, I don't even know how long ago that was. It was before I moved to Houston or right after, I can't remember, but it's been a decade since I got my first VA.
Yeah.
And it was absolutely revolutionary. And so how I talked myself into it is I said, you know, I can get this VA to do all these things for me, but also I can get them to work on this client account to do the administration parts of it. And maybe, you know, 5 or 6 hours a month. And then that alone, because I'm billing at a certain rate, it paid for that VA for the whole month. So think about how you can get your VA to help you with billable hour stuff that actually is things they're taking off your plate. So you can mm-hmm. still bill the same amount. It's okay. And they're doing it with excellence. You check it, you make sure it's good. But the good thing about that is then that takes those administrivia stuff off of your plate. So Devana, who's my current VA, so I still have a VA that is, I do it through Zirtual, which is an agency, but it's a 1099 for all intents and purposes. And though that particular role in my company, I can't understate how important she is in our company. So she is our mother hen. She takes care of my schedule. I don't do anything for my schedule. In fact, even when you guys came, I put Devana in. Devana does my schedule. I stopped doing my schedule, I think maybe almost 3 or 4 years ago now. First of all, because I kept making mistakes. I mean, seriously, she's better than me. So you do it, you know, you take care of me. So
I love that. I mean, before we were on camera, we were talking about, I saw an article this morning that was encouraging people to, you know, go in Photoshop and do your own logo. And I hate those articles. I hate them with a white hot passion. And I hate them because I think it's a mistake that many business owners make, not just solos, but many business owners, that they focus so hard on the spend that they miss the bigger picture. And they're not allocating their time to the activities that they should really be doing. Just because you can doesn't mean that you should. There is wisdom in hiring a professional that does something all the time. They're going to see things that you don't see. You could be missing out on opportunities. But more importantly, why on earth would you want to take 10, 15 hours or more to figure out Photoshop, do your own logo, when you could have hired somebody to do it cheaper, faster, better? It doesn't make any sense. And when you stop and think about your own clients, if you're a solo PR pro or any kind of business owner, if you're a plumber, do you really want people watching YouTube videos and trying to do it themselves? Maybe you do, and they screw it up and they have to call you and pay money. But as a PR professional, we encounter this all the time. And what do we say? Just because you know how to write an email doesn't make you a media relations expert. Just because you know your 15-year-old knows how to use Twitter doesn't mean that you don't need an actual professional social media strategist. And so I think that we need to apply that wisdom to our own businesses. And I think that people get scared about spending money. But what I found is that the more checks you write, the bigger budget that you have to work with, and the more freedom that you get to experience as a solo, that thing that we all went into business for, you actually get more of that. And that's kind of great.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And I think think about it on the other end, right? If you do spend those 15 hours learning Photoshop, especially if you're, say, a plumber or tradesperson, and you know you're proud of it, and you say to your clients, "Look, I made my own logo," and they're going to think, "What kind of insert profession here are you?
Yeah,
that you're spending your time on that." You know, so it's definitely something to think about for sure.
Yeah, so, no, definitely, definitely. And the other thing that I'm going to say about that is that, after the VA, the next thing you want to think about is how can you get help inside of your business? And it can be part-timers. You're going to have to look for those. I found those a lot through, we used a lot of influencers, you know, that did their own blogs and stuff. So since I do social media mostly in my business, that's what people hire me for. Although my background is full-blown public relations from the day. I mean, I used to be the media spokesperson for a national trade association for 8 years. So, I mean, it's not that I don't have that, but that's just what people hire me for. They started out and that's what I do. But whenever I got a big client, and I had SeaWorld for 10 years, And hopefully Fran's in here. Hi, Fran. Fran hired me into there, so which was awesome. And I was talking, that's when I bought this chair. It was like my gift to myself. Once I, you have to have things that get you going, right? But the point is that, you know, you can do all the work yourself. But the problem with doing all the work yourself is that you don't have any capacity to grow. And so what I found, and it's something that was something I didn't expect, is when I started bringing in other professionals to work alongside me, I saw more opportunities. Like more opportunities opened up to me. I'm like, oh, you know, Tracy could do that. And, you know, Katie can do that. And now Kimberly, who's my new hire, I just hired her at the beginning of January, which I'm really excited about, can do that. And so it was really an amazing thing that happens is that you open yourself up to more opportunities when you know that you have the people to do the work. It used to be when I'd see the opportunity, I'd say, yeah, I can't do that. And it's great to refer to other people. It's awesome to do that. And if that's what you want to do, that's awesome. But if you want to grow, you're going to have to be able to look at that and say, oh, do I have a team that's together that could do that? And you'll be able to say yes to a few more things if you have those people in place.
Yeah. And I would think it also, Cami, it also gives you more bandwidth, as we've talked about on a couple of previous episodes. You know, you just need that thinking time or that time just to let life and your work life breathe a little bit to evaluate, okay, where am I? You know, how is my work positioned? Am I on the track that's right for me? And I would imagine that that really opens you up in that way as well.
Yeah, it definitely does. And I think that a lot of people misunderstand that. And I also use Gusto. I know you guys have them as a partner, which is awesome. So when I actually discovered Gusto, that changed my life.
Oh, wow.
And I don't even say that lightly. I totally changed my life because I could do payroll. It does the quarterly assessments. Mm-hmm. It puts in all the paperwork to the state. Yeah. So I also used to avoid hiring because I'm like, I don't want all that paperwork and all that stuff I have to do. So since Gusto takes care of all that, including like workers' compensation that is required by one of my clients now, we have a hospital system here in Houston that we service, and it requires a lot of things to run it, including a team. You know, it's a great thing to have because it's open mind. So getting the right tools in place is also important to be able to hire. We do a lot of 1099s for influencers, you know, paying influencers and so forth. And I run that all through Gusto, and it sends them their 1099 like in the first week of January. I don't do any of that. I don't even think about it. I just approve it and it goes.
Nice.
I love that. I mean, yeah. I think that's really important too. And we've talked about this at Solo PR Pro quite a bit and have some resources around that. It's before you hire, it's about evaluating and asking those questions and working through those steps and making sure that you have documented systems and workflows so that it's easy to onboard somebody onto your team. Because if you're figuring it out while you're hiring, it can make it super bumpy. And it happens, you know, when you're making that first hire, you grow and you learn and you're like, oh, you know, I should have done it this way, but hopefully we can help you avoid some of those mistakes if you take advantage of the resources that we have on hiring your first employee.
And you guys have such amazing resources, for sure. And I know that having a SOP or a standard operating procedure around hiring for me has made all the difference. So I actually put mine through a test because I want to make sure they can actually do the work. It's a little bit of a thing. But one of my employees came to me last November, like right before Thanksgiving. And she told me, hey, I'm going to want to step away. I've been working full time mostly, and I need to step away and do part time. If you could keep me part time, that'd be great. If you can't, I understand. She said, but I need to step away because I'm going to grow my own business. I always knew she was going to do this. It wasn't super surprising, but it was like a little shocking, like right before the holidays.
Yeah.
So I was freaked out. But at the same time, I had an SOP or a process. And so I just opened up my process and I sent out my, I already had a job description written. I, you know, made some minor changes to it, put it out. We had somebody in seat by January 1.
Wow.
I had 40 people apply. I had 12 or 15 of them. I think it was 15 of them that took the test. It was crazy. It was great. I mean, and it happened too, whenever I hired Katie, I had a huge number of people apply, take the test. So, I mean, if you have a process and you have like a reputation, it really helps to make this smoother.
All these things that, you know, can be daunting, but also before we started, you know, going live, you mentioned your new ethos of, you said it better, I can't remember the phrase, you know, don't wait, just start, or
just get started.
That's it.
Just get started. Because here's the thing, if you think about it too much, so I'm like an overthinker for sure. I mean, I can sit in my little chair here with my notebook for like literally months and like plan some more. But launching is hard, right? So one of the things that I teach, so one of the things I've really wanted to do all along was have an online course. It was something I wanted to do for a long time, which is Smart Social Secrets, which you mentioned in the beginning. So this past year, I've been thinking about that course for like probably 3 years. And I did teach it to a couple of agencies in 2019. So I had I have a lot of agency clients that hire me to come in and teach them and their teams how to do social media for their clients. So I do a lot of that kind of work as well. And I wanted a online course that taught my process for putting together social media, either for yourself or for a client. And so that's really what Smart Social Secrets is. And so we launched that finally. And I was sitting there, actually it happened right at the beginning of this whole lockdown, coronavirus was happening. We actually, almost a year ago, like next month, right? There was, my family and I went to San Francisco for a vacation. And we were sitting there watching this cruise ship come in. And it turned out that that cruise ship was going under the Golden Gate Bridge. It was the one that had all those patients, all those people on it that had the coronavirus.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It had been sitting off the shore for a couple of weeks and nobody would let them in. Yeah. And I just happened to be standing at the Golden Gate Bridge when the ship came in. Can you imagine? So I'm like, okay, if anything knocks you over the head like harder than that, I don't really know what it is. And I just sat there thinking, the world is changing. People are going to need help. Get off of yourself and launch the thing. Just get it and just get started. Yeah. And so I came back. I actually moved up the launch date. I just went like all in for it. And so it's been awesome because we've been able to help, you know, upwards of 50 entrepreneurs this year to get their business social media strategy nailed down. And really it's all around the APR. Like it's strategic. It's like, how do you do social media in a very strategic way that doesn't waste your time, all of that. So it's been an amazing thing to add that line of business to my business during this season when things were, you know, tough in some ways.
Yeah. Right. Love that. Okay. And your just get started mantra is, I love it. And thank you because here's the overthinker. I've had that course. Like I've even started it. I just keep overthinking it. So I appreciate the personal encouragement, but you say that a lot to solo PR pros specifically and other entrepreneurs about their social media presence. Talk about that.
Yeah. So thanks for asking. So here's my mantra around that, or my thoughts. You need a piece of visibility content, something that's putting you in front of people every single week. And I have a coach, his name is Pete Vargas. He calls it Sam. You want to date Sam, sales and marketing. So you want to be out there dating Sam. It's really important that you do that every week because I know it's great, right? It's like Tinder, swipe right. Anyway, you want to swipe right on your business and choose yourself.
Yeah.
I love that. And there's a fear that comes around it that somebody is going to criticize you or especially it was for me, like this feeling like people are going to say negative things or, you know, I'm not really great at being on video, for example. I didn't feel like I was at first. But I don't know, there's something about going on video every single week for an entire year that makes you good.
Get over it.
Or better. And people still say negative things. I mean, not my tribe, but weird drive-by people, you know? Mm. And guess what? I don't care. I was actually writing a poem for a friend of mine. I was feeling very poet laureate, but I called it The Purpose. But really the point is that my purpose, and I'm not going to read poems to you right now. My purpose in life is to help other people to overcome this gap. And my people our social media, public relations, marketing professionals, you know, either people that are working for themselves or working for companies, those are really my people. I can speak to them. I understand where they're coming from. I have walked in the shoes. I've had this business for over a decade. I've been a solo. I've been a partner in a partnership. I am now have an agency on my own. I've been through all of the stages. Now I haven't gone to brick and mortar, so I'm not going to teach Edelman how to do this, right? So I'm really, there's a swing there. And I have always wanted to help people. I mean, that's why I started Social Media Breakfast in Houston over 11 years ago now, because I just want to help others to grow in this. So visibility content is number one. And it doesn't have to be video. That's what I chose. For a long time for me, it was a blog, right? So I did a blog for years. You know that, Karen, too, and probably Michelle. I don't know if you were around when I was doing blogging, but
yeah,
I blogged for years. Every, you know, three times a week, even more sometimes, I would put out a blog post. As I've been working with my business and stuff, I don't have time for that anymore as much. And so this one video a week is something I have time for. I have tons of content. All of you do. I just teach what I know. I just teach what I've done and what has worked for me and for my clients. And one of the things that I love about what I do right now is that I can just jump on, have that community jump off. And then I do Social Media Breakfast once a month. That is another piece. But even if you just do one thing, just do that for yourself. Yeah. It's the gift that you give yourself that keeps on giving for the rest of your career. That blog that I did for however many years that was, I guess probably I did that blog for about almost 10 years, it still gives to me, because the people that I met during that time and that I have relationships with are now some of the luminaries that if I mentioned them, you would know their names.
Right.
You know, right. And we were, you know, duking it out at the time, I'm right to say duking it out, but we were like talking to each other and having conversations, and we have I have a relationship with these people. And I can just pop up. And even if I haven't seen them for 2 years, they're like, oh, Cammy. It's really important you build those relationships. So one, visibility content, and then you need something. This is where I fell down a lot. You need something to give them some quick win or a taste of who you are so they can start to get into a relationship with you. Because as you know, social media can change on a dime. You know, the algorithms change, you know, it doesn't work anymore. It closes down. Think of Blab, think of, I don't know, there's so many of them.
There's a blast.
Right now, Clubhouse is all the rage, and yes, we're all in Clubhouse. I've seen you there, Karen. I'm sure you're there. Are you there, Michelle? Yes.
I took the plunge. I took the plunge. I haven't. So many
you, you have to have an Apple device. I actually literally don't. I have a. I use a Samsung.
How do you do it?
So I went and bought an iPod 7 refurbished, $125. Just so I'm like, you know what? I probably should have an Apple device so I can test apps. So it was $120. It was totally worth the investment. So I'm doing that. But I don't know if I'm going to try to be big on Clubhouse. That's not my point. My point is that my job is to know the things so I can tell you about the things.
Right.
And one of the things I launched this month, which I'm really excited about, is Smart Social Sparks, which is part of Smart Social Secrets, but it's my monthly newsletter. And what I've done is I have my team, this is where it's great to have a team, they share anything new they see that's coming out, like any new feature. It's all about features in Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Clubhouse, TikTok, we look at it all, YouTube. And I also have hired a guy who's actually in the Philippines who looks up, I've given him some search phrases for Mondays and Fridays. So he goes in on Monday, he goes in on Friday, and he pulls all of these things and puts them into a spreadsheet for me. And then my intern who I've hired, who's getting her degree, she looks at it on Tuesday and she pulls them into a document. She writes up a little piece about each one. Then I go in, I read them, I change them. Then once a month, we put out a singular document that has all the changes for that month. And it's quick and easy. It's smartsocialsecrets.com/sparks. You can sign up for it there. And it's just once a month. And there's other emails that come out too around smart social secrets, but we don't send that many. There's not tons of emails. So the bottom line is that you've got to get in front of people, then start building a relationship with them. And whether you sell something to them or not, what I found was interesting is I got more clients, like regular, you know, normal clients, not just, you know, people that are buying my course from this, this system. So, you know, some of my old clients crawled out and said, hey, I've been thinking about you because I've been seeing your videos and we need you to come do this, this, or this. So I've gotten so much more work that I didn't even expect from just being visible regularly.
Isn't that amazing? It's so true. It's quite, you know, it's what we counsel people on of, you know, the restaurant that posts their daily special, you're more inclined to order from them than maybe even your favorite restaurant that you don't see that often.
You got to date Sam and you got to do it for your own business, not just for your clients, but for your own business. You got to do it for your clients, but you know.
Yeah.
So those are the two steps. You need something to give. You need a visibility thing, and then you need something to give that's really valuable that people would pay for. I mean, I'm paying like a lot of money to keep that list up for anybody who signs up for that. I mean, you know, it's like $200 for the VA from the Philippines. It's $15 an hour for the intern. It's the ConvertKit, you know, email system that I'm putting together. So, you know, altogether, I probably am spending, you know, $500 or $600 on that per month.
Yeah. You know what I love about what you said, and it ties into some of my passions, is that it starts with purpose, being really clear on your purpose. Because when you know what your purpose is, when it's written, when you can look at it, when it really comes from your true passion and your gifts, you can be super, here's my favorite word, intentional about the things that you choose to do. And, you know, my approach to everything in my business is to keep the focus on people. It's never about me, but it's about what I'm giving to others, because that's part of my purpose. And so when I'm posting on social media, I'm not doing it because I want to be popular or I want people to see me or I'm trying to be viral. I'm really sharing from a place of authenticity of things that I think that people will benefit from, or something that, you know, was a revelation to me that I want to share with other people. It's all about people. And I think that where we go wrong, and you do all of these really cool things, but you're doing it because it aligns with your purpose and you're very strategic and intentional. So for somebody that is not a social media expert, of course you're not going to go and hire a VA and do these search terms and do those things, because that's not what you do. Right. But I think people can extract the wisdom from what you're doing, Cami, and apply it to their own businesses. And I guess I wanted to pull that out because things like Clubhouse, yes, I'm on Clubhouse. I didn't jump onto it because it was new and shiny. I jumped onto it because it made sense and it aligned with the clients that I serve. So for me, it was about showing up for the people that I'm serving and seeing that, you know what, this is beneficial and I need it to be there for that specific reason. Not because, so no, you don't have to go and jump on everything just because you're a peer. You don't have to do that. Your clients don't have to do that. But it all starts with knowing your purpose and then being very intentional about the tools that you use, how you use your time, and how you structure your business.
Oh, that's so true. So true. And I think we all operate from that same, you know, mode, that same just wanting to be helpful. I know for me too, it's just, how can I help make your life better? And, you know, not, and, you know, by waving my magic wand, but, you know, how can I help your business grow so that in turn your employee, you know, can make enough money to give their daughter dance lessons? You know, all these things that go into making a community and creating vibrancy and, you know, wealth and health. And I think anything that we can do to help that. And you know, you've inspired me. You both inspire me all the time, because I'm thinking, yes, I know I need to be putting myself out there. But it's just so easy to just get behind that curtain of, oh, but let me write this blog post for my client first. But
it's so easy. It's so easy.
Sam, I know.
And the other thing I'm going to say too, Karen, I love what you just said about where you go in intentionality. So I'm telling you how I'm taking something that is core to my business and I'm sharing it out. It's something that you would pay for. Like some people charge for these, like these newsletters are becoming a thing where you charge for them. So that's happening. But you have something inside of you that you only know and that you can share. And so that's what I'm telling you. So that's the bottom line. I'm not saying you should go out and do what I'm doing. I think you should do what you need to do. And then I love what you said, Karen, too, about social media platforms. I go to the platforms where my customers are.
Right.
So, you know, if I will follow my community, where my community goes. I followed them kicking and screaming into Instagram. So that happened. I had a hard time with Instagram. I don't know why. Yeah. It's just one of those things. I was more of a Twitter gal. It was just my thing. I love LinkedIn because I think that a lot of the community that I, you know, serve is on LinkedIn. So it's funny though, but because I'm a public relations and marketing person and I serve public relations and marketing people. So that's a little bit different than maybe you. So I think it's just a matter of looking at your clients and your customers and going where they are. And community, Michelle, I love what you say about community because it's so much about the community. It's so much about building community. In fact, on all of my bios on social media, I say community builder because that's just who I see myself as being. That's my PR coming out, you know, my PR roots. It's all about community building and really bringing that community together in some way. So I love that you said that.
Oh, yeah. I firmly believe it. I don't care what kind of business you have. You have to recognize that, you know, it's not just plying people with something to build your brand loyalty. That happens because, you know, they feel good about doing business with you. There is emotion involved. And, you know, I've seen that across the board, and it's so important. It's so important to be authentic about it. And what better way, you know, to do some of the things you're doing, no matter where you are in business, you know, sharing video is key. I mean, you're getting to that right at the time where video, you know, we've been talking about this for ages, right? Oh, video is the next big thing. Well, it's here.
It's definitely here. Yeah. And I knew it was coming too. And that actually is the other thing I really work on is seeing what the next trend is going to be. Mm-hmm. And right now, audio, because of Clubhouse and what you're seeing, I think the reason it's doing so well as an audio only platform is because people are kind of tired of Zoom.
Yes.
So yeah. I feel like it's a place where you can go. And somebody said it the other day, I thought it was really perfect. It's like South by Southwest or a big conference, but like in audio. Mm-hmm. And it has a whole bunch of rooms you can go. You can go to this session or that session. And that's so how true. It feels. I thought that was a really good description of it.
I like that. If you Clubhouse initially said that their intention in creating it was to disrupt radio. But I honestly don't find it anything like radio at all. I find it more like a conference. And what I like about it is that it's conversational. I love Twitter. You know, there have been times in my history where I've broken up with Twitter, but I love Twitter. But I love Clubhouse in that you're really talking to people and you're hearing that voice, but you don't have the pressure of video. So it allows you to participate, you know, a little more freely, and you're not having to type. Sometimes you're tired of typing. Sometimes you're tired of looking at a computer screen. I know I am. My eyes have suffered. You know, I've had to get these blue light blocking glasses. Oh, yeah. It's kind of a refreshing change to go back to audio, which is, you know, so old school. Like, we don't talk anymore like that, but I'm loving it for that reason.
Yeah
it's great. Go ahead. No, I was just going to agree with her. And I was going to say, I do think that one of the trends I see for Clubhouse, which isn't even open to the public yet. I mean, it kind of is and it kind of isn't. Like, one of the things I saw is if anybody here in your group wants a Clubhouse invite, what I've seen is people doing Clubhouse invite trains in groups where one gives to one. And then when they go in, they give to another. So anybody who wants to be in can be in solo PR. I'm happy to start the train. I have a few. But just let me know if you're in the private solo PR group. If you're not, join, all right, already. That would be good. And so I'm just saying that I think that one of the things that's happening there is some of the rooms are going on for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours. So I think there's an opportunity there for rooms to be made that have specific start and end times. And I think that those are going to get more popular because people can't, you feel bad leaving a room.
Yeah.
And you've got to go on and work, right? So, I mean, I do feel like right now people are indulging themselves and they're trying to grow on the platform and they're trying to become the Clubhouse moderator of all time or whatever. And that's awesome. But so inside, guys, right now, even if you're not there, there's definitely some posturing going on. But the bottom line is that, you know, it doesn't matter what you go onto, Facebook, LinkedIn, whatever, if you bring value with you, you are going to stand out. you are going to stand out. And I have one of my students, he doesn't like video, he doesn't like audio. He goes onto LinkedIn every day, only LinkedIn, and he puts a post and he talks about it and he adds his own take on it and he puts it out and he's just curating content and saying, hey, I think this is going to be a trend. What do you guys think? It's working great for him.
Love it.
It's working great for him. He doesn't write anything except for that little post. He doesn't do anything. I think he needs to add a little freebie thing, but I'll work with him on that. But my point is that, you just need to have that second step. So I did that for years, just value, 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 but I never built my email list. I never built my community that way. And I'm definitely 100% in on that right now. And so definitely that's something I would push you to do as a business owner, because there's no way that you're going to know if Facebook's going to continue working for you or LinkedIn or whatever, but you do know you have these relationships. I have a relationship with Karen. I have a relationship with Michelle that transcends the social media platforms in which we met.
Right.
Yeah.
100%. 100%. And it's true. We always preach, don't build your house on rented land. Building that email list is key, because that's your direct one-on-one contact with people.
Yeah. And if you hate it, I know. I hate it too. I was like, I nobody wants to hear from me. And yes, every time you send out an email, a bunch of people unsubscribe. Don't take it personally. People just want to get you. I mean, how many times have you unsubscribed because you're just trying to lessen the number of things in your email inbox?
Yeah, it's exactly. Okay.
You can subscribe to my list and unsubscribe, and I will not hold it against you.
For me. Yeah, I love that.
We're very glad to know that.
Yeah. Before we let you go, I'm really interested because I find sometimes that women in particular need a little more encouragement in letting go of all of the stuff, all of the baggage, all of the things in our head where we feel we have to be X to get started. Do you find that that's true, or is it something specific to public relations professionals, or have you run into that? Yeah.
Yeah, women, we are so hard on ourselves. We are so hard on ourselves. I have to have the perfect makeup, or, I don't want to be seen. I think a lot of women don't want to be seen. They're worried about being seen, because if you put your head above the fray, maybe I will have to read my poem to you, because I wrote a poem about this week for another friend who was suffering from a lot of that, but we were meant to stand out, guys, women. Ladies, I shouldn't say guys. We were meant, and guys too, but guys get this though. You were meant, you're put on this earth to do something. And you need to stand in your power and do that. And I just can't say it large enough, because I think we just have this imposter syndrome just seeping through our veins and dripping out our fingertips. And a guy will go, yeah, I'm pretty good. I can do this. And us women are like, can I do that? I'm not sure.
Is this the right time?
Yeah. And then the people that you'll let down, because my kids need me to take them, or my husband, or my, it's so bad. I mean, I've thought about it a million times. What will people say about me? Because I've heard them say stuff about other people. And I know that if I come out and put myself out here, they're going to say it about me too. So you just get to this point, you're going to have to say, just take that step. Just get out there and do it. Because if you don't, you never will. And you'll be regretting that. I mean, so think about yourself, at your funeral. It was funny because somebody said, write your obituary. What do you want it to say?
Oh, that's true. That's so
write
true.
Your obituary, read it.
Love
and if
that.
You're not doing those things, get started.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So get out of your own way is, really, because that's really what it is. We get in our own way, and we get in our own way because of all the dumb stuff. And I had to overcome that too. It's still scary to be on video, because you're always but who cares? My job is not supermodel. I'm not trying to be Gisele Bündchen. I'm not her. All of my quirks and all of the goofy stuff that I do and who I am. It's who I am, and that's okay.
That's part of the good.
Yeah,
that's part of the good.
You're going to do both. Okay, so you're going to both attract and repel people.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's people that you will repel.
That's
and
okay.
By the way, you want to repel them, because the people that are not meant to be in your, like, they're not your people. They're not the people you're meant to help. You will repel them sometimes, and that's okay, because those people are, you want them out of your space. Truly. I mean, you can't. So anyway,
and if you think information, go on any celebrity's Instagram or Twitter feed and read how horrible, awful people are, but those celebrities continue to do their jobs.
Yeah.
They continue to show up every day and they don't let it get to them. You know, that's really actually inspiring when you see, you're like, oh my gosh, people are horrible.
I was looking at Kim Kardashian. She put up a painting her daughter did.
Yeah.
Oh,
did you see that Kim Kardashian put up a painting her daughter did? And then everybody just piled on, like, oh, her daughter didn't do that painting. No 8-year-old could do a painting like that. And it's like come on, guys. It's like, you know, you really, you have a, get a life. Get a life.
Yeah. Get a life. It's kind of into perspective that, I mean, you could be Mother Teresa on any of the social media platforms and someone would say something, you know, horrible about you. I'm trying to get over that too. Like, I don't
think really about care. It. I'm sure even the Pope gets trolled on Twitter. I haven't seen it, but I guarantee it happens.
You know, the Pope is the Antichrist.
And he just says, bless your heart.
Yes.
Texas. I'm in Texas, so I can say that.
Yeah, the Pope's like, as they say in Texas, bless your heart.
Bless your little sweet heart.
Yes.
My goodness, I'm praying for you. my grandmother used to say that to me, and I'd be like, oh, I'm in so much trouble.
Oh no, what did I do?
And I'm very religious in that way, so I'm like not being anti-religious here, but no, I'm just saying,
So okay. Shall we close out? Do you have your poem at the ready?
Yeah. Oh, I can read it to you. You want to hear it? Okay.
Yeah.
It's called The Purpose. To rise up, you must stand out. To stand out, you must take a stand. To take a stand, you must invite disagreement. And sometimes you must withstand disagreeable people. There is a force that wishes to drag us down, back to earth and even below the ground. And if it succeeds while you sit there in the mud, those whom you were sent to inspire are not reaching their most extraordinary life, because you are a standard bearer who leads by standing out, living in your purpose and crushing any force that would deny it. You are not meant to be hidden, but to stand in your destiny. So rise.
Yay. Wow,
that's Kim wonderful.
Poet, musician, singer, writer,
all the things.
All the things.
Thank you for being with us, Cami. And just let our audience know again, where can they find you online so they don't miss out on your wonderful purpose that you share with everyone?
Thanks. You can get me almost anywhere at Cami Chat. KamiChat, which is kind of cut off here, but Cami Chats. I'm that on Twitter, LinkedIn. I'm Cami Huyse, HUYSE. Everywhere else is Cami Chat. Clubhouse, everywhere else is Cami Chat.
That's good. Consistent branding.
And then of course you can do smartsocialsecrets.com/sparks. And you can sign up for my newsletter so that you get that, because then I do all that work for you. So you can keep up with social media without all of the hassle.
Awesome.
And that's it. I mean, I'd love to talk to any of you, certainly, at any time, anywhere.
Wonderful. DM me. Slip into her DMs, everyone. Well,
that sounds really sexualized. But, we're good.
In a professional way, of course. Yes. No nasty grams. Well, hey, we thank you so much for spending time with us and truly, you know, getting us going in this, you know, bleak midwinter where we are, just helping us to, you know, think like a daffodil and break through that nasty snow. So thank you, Cami, and thank you, audience, for joining us on yet another episode of That Solo Life.